This is Memorial Day weekend when death is on people's minds, because we will go to the cemeteries and the graveyards and we will look around and we will see tombstones and headstones of those that we love from our families who've gone on and crossed the other side. And the thing in the middle is called the dash. They were born at this date. They died at this date. But there's the dash in the middle. The dash in the middle is what's called life. But we want to talk about what's to the right of the dash, and that is a thing called death. When you think about death, you have to ask this question. What is death? Now, if you're going to look in the dictionary, the clinical definition of it is the cessation of physical life. It is a body that was alive, which had functions such as a pulse based on a heartbeat, and waves, which are activity in the brain, that no longer has any signs that in the body itself there's anything going on, because it shuts down, it shuts off, and it starts to decay. That's why we bury things that are dead, because if we don't, the decomposition of the body is a horrible thing to watch and even a worse thing to smell. What is death? It is the cessation of physical life. Now the question is when do people die? They die anytime. They die all the time. How long do people live? That depends. It depends on where you live, and it depends on how you live, and it depends on why you live. There are places around the world called third countries which have a substandard standard of living from the kind that you and I know. They do not have access to the medical care and the facilities that you and I have. If they cut themselves and start to bleed, there's no hospital to get them to. There's no helicopter to fly them. And more than likely, if it's a life-threatening situation where they have severed or punctured a main artery, they're going to bleed to death and die. Why do people die? They die because they get old. They die because they get sick. They die because they get injured. They die because they get diseases. All of those things tend to work against the body. Someone has once said it this way: health is nothing more than your body fighting off all the things that wants to kill it. Which means, in the world in which we live, people have become paranoid by something called GERMS, germs. They're everywhere. I sometimes think we outsmart ourselves, because I've seen commercials where they'll say, you know what, that countertop, and they show all this little yucky looking green, bluish, crawling stuff. There's germs on that countertop. And do you realize that when you lay your food down or when you lay your hand down, those germs are transferred from that countertop to your hand? When it's cold and flu season, they show this person walking around that's just a living, breathing germ factory, you know, and everything they touch, you know, the doorknob, the phone, the kitchen utensils, everything is, you know, and then you come along behind them and you know, if you watch that stuff, you start acting like Howard Hughes, who was really paranoid, and he washed his hands all the time. All the time. All the time. And he got so, you know, he'd go in the bathroom, and then he couldn't get out because he didn't want to touch the knob. So he'd have to wait for somebody else to come in and open the door so he could get through the door before he could, you know, because there's germs everywhere. And he wouldn't use their paper towels. He'd bring his own. And he had a phobia. But my point is, germs, disease, accident, illness, those are things old age can cause death. My grandmother used to put it this way: keep going as long as you can, because if you live long enough, you're not going anywhere. And you go, what does that mean? Go to the nursing home and walk down the hallway and look in the rooms. And you will see people, they're not going anywhere, because they've got to the point where the body is just hanging on and fading. Death happens because we get old. But not everybody gets to be old. Sometimes disease strikes people down. Sometimes accidents and injuries strike people down. Some of you are farmers. The last time I checked, they said farming is the world's most dangerous occupation. This is Memorial Day weekend, and for those who are in law enforcement, who patrol the highways and byways, they say that Memorial Day is the deadliest holiday of the year. And the reason why is, people have this thing in their head called a brain, and they're supposed to keep it on. Every time, all the time, every day. But you know, the sun is shining, and boy, I feel good, and I just washed my car, and the windows are clean, and I took a bath, and I'm feeling great. You know, I'm going to roll the windows down and get some fresh air, and just go for a little drive, and I'm feeling really good, so maybe I'll put some weight in my shoe, and press down a little on that old accelerator, and you know, let's have a little more fun, and let's take that curve a little faster today. Not realizing that you don't know how to drive a car. Well, some of us don't. I'll just speak for myself. You don't know how to drive a car well, and you don't know how to handle the unexpected because you're coming around the curve and, oh, you're going a little fast. Well, I better put that brake on. Ooh, not a pretty picture. Or you decide to, let's zoom over that hill, forgetting you should never outdrive what you can't see. So you zoom over the hill and what's that tractor doing in the middle of the road? So the next thing you know is, you're trying to avoid something and you either injure or kill yourself. So people do things to kill themselves. It happens to everybody sooner or later. They say if you don't burn out, you may rust out. I just want to go out. Where does death occur? Everywhere. Who's affected by death? Everybody. The last time I checked, it's a 100% rate. Everybody's going to die. Somewhere, sometime, you're going to die. The question is, are you ready to die? There was a barber who was in his shop and he was giving haircuts and he used a straight edge and he'd just become a Christian and he realized he needed to share his faith. So he had a man that sat down in his chair and he lathered him up. And as he was lathering it up and put the lather on his face, he kept muttering to himself, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And the guy in the chair was like, you know, getting a little tense because the guy's standing with a straight edge. Going, you know, he's strapping it up and getting shiner. He's going, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And he's looking real intense. He comes over to the guy and he holds the straight edge. He's getting to make that first cut. He says, are you prepared to die? And the guy leaps up and runs out of the barbershop. That's like, you know, what he wanted to talk about was salvation. But he didn't lead into it very well because, you know, somehow holding a straight edge, somebody's throat and saying, are you prepared to die? I don't think I'm ready to go just yet, and not by your hand. What is death? Why is death? When is death? How is death? Where is death? Cessation of physical life. Something happens to the body. It could happen anywhere. It could happen to anybody. It could happen at any time. Now that's what the world says death is. So what do you do when a body dies? You take it and you put it in the ground, and depending on where you live, depends on how much you're going to do to prepare the body, you may embalm it, you may not embalm it, but anyway, you're going to bury it because that's what you do with dead things. And then some cultures have what they call a service of some kind of memorial, or they have a funeral, and that is for the living. People who are dead know nothing. So, you know, I can tell you what I want you to do at my funeral, Charlie, and these are the songs I want you to sing, and this is the scripture I want you to read, and you can nod at me and say, and as soon as I'm dead, you know, we ain't doing half of that stuff. We're not going to be here all day. Let's just move along, get him out, put him in the ground, and go on with our lives. Dead people, they don't come back. Dead people don't talk about it. Dead people are gone. They're dead. And the question is we're all going to die, but my question is how do we want to die? Now, some said that, you know, Uncle Joe went peacefully in his sleep, unlike all the people who were in the car that were screaming and hollering as they went off the side of the road because Uncle Joe died when he was behind the wheel. But what does the Bible say? If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to look starting at verse 23 and read down to the end of the chapter, verse 28, and it reads as follows. Hebrews 23 through 28, chapter 9. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Memorial Day. In this country, we stop and think of the current wars, the conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, the Gulf War of the early 90s. We think about Vietnam, the Korean War, World War II, World War I. We think about the tragic war that occurred in this country in the early 1860s, the Civil War. You think about all those people who died fighting for something they believed in. Intentionally, unintentionally, they're all dead. They all died. And we stop and think about them. But my question is, what does the Bible say about death? Does the Bible look at death the same way the world does? And I tell you the answer is no. In Genesis chapter 3, you find some interesting things going on because you have a God who created the world and he put two people in it. He called them Adam and he called her Eve. And he said this very strangely in chapter 2. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. You see, when God created the first man and the first woman, they didn't even know what death was. There was no such thing as dying. Now, for you and I, who see things die all the time, whether it's the bug we stepped on, or the spider that we smashed, or the fly that we killed, or it's the cat that didn't make it across the road, or the chicken, or the possum, or the raccoon, or whatever it was, we see death all the time. But to be in a world that was perfect and know how anybody has any idea what death is, because you don't know what it is. Adam and Eve were going to live forever. Gee, they were going to be eternally young. Wow, they were in a perfect place. Eden. They had no wants. It was a vacation every day. Sounds like something all of us are trying to work toward to get to the spot in life where we can just sit back, kick back, take it easy and say, wow. It's kind of like being retired. I know that because people say, so I heard you're retired. How is it? And I said, shh. They said, shh. I said, it's wonderful. But don't tell anybody. I said, it's wonderful because you know what happens every day? For the first time in my life, I get up every morning. Now, there are those who say an hour of sleep before midnight is as good as 2 hours of sleep after midnight. There are those who say in the course of a day, you can only work as long as you've got light to see. Once the light is over, once the sun goes down, you're done. There are those who say that. I'm not always in that camp, but I appreciate those words of wisdom. But you get up every day, and guess what you get to do? I'll put it to you this way. When my grandmother was alive, she looked at me and she said, you know, I've noticed something about you that's very interesting. I said, what would that be? She said, now some days you get up and you go running, some days you get up and you jump rope, some days you get up and you ride your bike, some days you get up and do some, above, or all of the three. Some days you get up and you don't do anything. Why is that? And I said, because I don't want to. And I don't have to. She said, I noticed another thing about you, and that's when you get to do what you want to do, you're very happy. But when you don't get to do what you want to do, you're not always the easiest person to live with or be around. I said, that would be absolutely correct. And on my job, what I always tried to do was stay in good graces with those who were in charge so I could go to work and do what I wanted to do. On my job, I was the least supervised person in the park. No one watched me. Nobody told me to come here and go there. I got to wander around all day long doing whatever I wanted to do. I thought it was just a little slice of heaven. And now I'm retired. So now I get up, and I wander around all day doing whatever it is I want to do, and it's just a little slice of heaven. Now that's just my interpretation of why retirement is such a wonderful thing. I'm thankful to God every day for a reasonable portion of health and strength, and sometimes I'm clothed in my right mind, that I can go out and do whatever it is I want to do and have the strength to do it. But my point is, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were in a wonderful place. But there was one thing they were told not to do, and that was don't eat of the tree. They ate of the tree, and you know, as somebody said, he's dead now, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. They ate of the tree, and they started to die. Now, from the Bible, what does that mean when it says death was occurring? It had to do with two things that were going to happen, one immediately and one over time. The physical body was designed not to ever break down, but to go on, all of a sudden started to break down and to age. And all of a sudden, Adam looked at Eve and he said, "Honey, what's that under your chin?" And she said, "Adam, what's that over there by your eye? What's that on your forehead?" He said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Well, it looks like a wrinkle." He says, "Well, I'm not alone, because you've got a few yourself, sister." And you know, the figure V, that cut, and he had that six-pack and those big pythons, and she's, "Now that's my man. Boy, I tell you, I have never seen another man look as good as Adam." Because there's nobody else to compare. He knows there's no one else that compares to Adam. Well, he's the only man, so what can you say? And he said, "Boy, woo, 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 man." That's all I can say. Woo, man. Hourglass. And then after they started having children, because they were going to have children, but you realize, women, that if Eve had not partaken of the tree and fallen into sin, boy, I mean, you guys would be popping them out like water seeds. "Okay, honey, are we ready to have more? Because there will be no pain in childbirth." How do I know that? Because it says in Genesis that part of the curse of sin is that women would go through the pain of childbirth. So before that, you guys, because when God said be fruitful and multiply, there's only two people, that's a lot of being fruitful and multiplying. So I mean, somebody's got to get busy. So it'd be a joy to have kids. "Boy, honey, we've got two, let's have three more. Oh, we've got five, let's have six more." I'm right with you. I mean, if you're going to live like 800 or 900 years, think of all the babies you could have. You know, take a break every 2 or 3 years, but boy, I mean, like 400, 500 kids, no pain at all, never getting old, just having them left and right. And they said they thought the rabbits had something on us, but oh no, we got it all for the rabbits, baby, because we're making them. Sin changed all that. So you see, what happened was, when man chose to disobey God, a thing entered into the world called sin. And sin changed everything. Sin brought about death. Death is spiritual separation from God. Because when God created Adam and Eve, there are three things that make him, make us, make you, make me like God. Intellect, will, and emotion. I do not see any twins sitting in the room. I do not see any clones sitting in the room. So when we say that man is created in the image of God, it's not the fact that you and I look just like God from a physical sense. Because some of us would say, "Now, I wouldn't mind looking like that if that's what God looks like." And some would say, "Oh, that's what God looks like. God bless you. Can see you. Wouldn't want to be you." But our intellect, our will, and our emotion are the three things that make us like God. And those were all changed. Those are all marred by sin. And spiritually, we die in our relationship to God, but there was a separation, that bond, that unity. We talked about Sunday school, about the family, new life in the family, about the man and the woman being two, becoming one, about the children, about the family unit. The whole idea is it was a perfect relationship, but sin messed it up. Sin causes death. Because Adam sinned, because Eve sinned, all of you have got a problem. The Bible says that we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Wow. So can we point the finger? It's Jacob's fault. He sinned. He messed it up. He's the reason we're all screwed up in the head. He's the one that why we can't think right. He's the one why we can't live right. It's all his fault. But you know what? If you and I were in the garden given the same situation, guess what we would do? We got a husband and wife team over here. "Honey, I met a new animal today." "Really?" "Oh yeah." It was whispered in my ear. "Psst, psst, come here, because I'm showing you." "Who are you?" "Oh, I'm just hanging around the trees." "You know, Eve, God's lying to you." "Why?" "Because he told you not to eat of that tree. You know why he doesn't want you to eat of the tree? Because you would be just like him." That's funny, I think it says that God created us in his image with intellect, will, and emotions. What else is there? "You eat of this tree and you'll see things in a whole different way." Isn't it pretty? You know, women appreciate beauty, so that was a real hook. You know, it is kind of attractive. And you know, women sometimes like to cook. "You know, Eve, if you served this up for dinner tonight, your husband would love you like he's never loved you before."
You know, you made some good points. What's your name?
Satan.
You don't come by often. No, don't have to. Just drop by every once in a while. I think I'll take you up on it. And then, you know the rest of the story. Man started to die physically. Man was spiritually separated from God. Spiritual death. Two more questions before we get to our text. Is death final? Is there an answer for death? In one sense, yes, death is final, but it does not have to be. Because the Bible says that there was one that God sent. Someone that he loved more than anybody else, that was a one-of-a-kind person, and his name was Jesus Christ. In the Jewish culture, God said, I'm going to choose you to make my people, and here's what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to set you up to be a light to the Gentiles, and I'm going to let you be the ones to show them how it's supposed to be done. If you will follow me, obey me, and love me. Well, they didn't always follow, they didn't always obey, and they didn't always love. You know how it is when it's good, and it's been good a long time. We sometimes lose our enthusiasm or our passion or our attention. We wander away. We start to drift because we start taking things for granted. I read a story in the Daily Bread of a man who said he was going to just sit by the edge of the ocean in his inner tube and just take in the sun and gently be rocked by the waves. And he was just feeling good. He closed his eyes. Oh, the wind was a nice little breeze and he was just feeling good. And then he opened his eyes. He couldn't even find the shoreline because he drifted away. And that's the way you and I can do with God when we take God for granted and start to relax and say, oh, isn't God good? Oh, the blessing there, just the flowing. I'm just the going. And next thing you know, all the things that kept you anchored and kept you rock grounded and kept you lined up and in touch and in tune with God. You been praying lately? Well, no. Been reading your Bible? Well, no. Been going to church? Well, no. Why is it you're not doing those things? I thought you said they were important. Well, they are. But what? Well, you know, I just want to enjoy myself. You weren't enjoying reading the Bible? Oh, yes. You weren't enjoying praying? Oh, yes. You weren't enjoying going to church? Well, most of the time, yes. People start to drift away from God. What is God's answer to death? His answer to death is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. The Jews had this system where they would offer sacrifices, and the idea was it was a copy, it was a type, it was a symbol. They would bring in these animals, these sheep and these cattle and these oxen, and they would slaughter them, and they would shed the blood, and they would take the blood and sprinkle it over the Holy of Holies. And when God looked at the blood because it was a substitute, he would say, these animals are substituting for your sins, therefore I will not hold you guilty. But there was a perfect sacrifice, and his name was Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that as the priest would enter into the holy place, verse 24 says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which means a temple that man built, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, we have an empty cross. We just finished serving and celebrating Easter. And the reason why the cross is empty is because of Jesus Christ. Why did Christ go to the cross? He went to the cross, the Bible says, to take your place and my place because Jesus Christ is God's answer to death. He came to take our sin, our punishment, our judgment, our hell, and therefore, he gave us something that we could never have without him, and that is eternal life. What a deal! You're dying! You're going to go to hell! Your life has no purpose and no meaning, it's all empty! But Jesus Christ came and said, I can change, and I will change, and I have changed all of that. And what does it take for you and I to find an answer to death? An empty cross, an empty tomb, and a belief in the person who was in both of them, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he appears before God, he appears for you, he appears for me, because for you and me, he died. He says not that he should offer himself as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Jesus Christ died once, and he died for you and for me, and he does not have to keep dying because his one death satisfied the penalty for sin. When he was on the cross for 3 hours, God poured out all of his wrath. God was satisfied when the 3 hours was over that the debt had been paid. You know, they just passed this Credit Card Recovery Act, so people who don't know what to do with their money will stop being messed over by the credit card companies. But the point is, if you have a credit card and don't know what to do with it, I don't care what anybody says, they can pass all the rules they want to.
If you don't know what to do, you don't know what to do. And the wise people are in such a problem with that they don't know how to handle money. They're spending something they don't have because they were always told tomorrow. You can pay for it tomorrow. Oh, we'll charge you a little bit, but don't worry about it. Make yourself happy today. Indulge yourself today. Have a good time today. You know, it's like the Fram oil commercial, which they used to have on TV, which people should have paid attention to. You can pay us now, or you can pay us later. And that was the thing, that was the line that the devil has sold people on. Have a good time. Don't worry about it. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Death says, if you look around, you've had people that you go to school with that are not here. The graduating class of McLean High School had two people that died, did not make it to walk across the stage. They died. Accidents, injuries, but they're dead. My point is, it happens to everybody. The question is what are we going to do about it? We accept Jesus Christ. Verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. What happens after we die? We're going to be judged. What are we going to be judged for? What did you do with your life? What do you mean? How did you spend it? They said it's like money. You can spend it wisely, but you can only spend it once. Once it's spent, it's gone. Well, I was living for myself. That doesn't count. I was doing what I wanted to do. That doesn't count. I was trying to make other people happy. That doesn't count. It only matters, the Bible says, just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If Jesus Christ is the one that can answer all of death's problems and solve all of death's dilemmas, I think that we owe Him something, and that is our life lived for Him. But we're all going to die. And here's the way it's going to shake out. If you said yes to Christ, if your name is written down in what the Bible calls the Lamb's Book of Life, you will have a judgment. It is a judgment which will look at all the things that you and I have done, and our works will be tried by fire. You know, with all those songs that we sang, all those times we showed up in Sunday school, all those times we did all those things that the church was doing, but we really didn't want to do it. We really didn't care. Mama said, Grandma said, I was forced into it. My girlfriend said, my husband said, my children said. So I showed up, I stood, I talked, I sat, I sang, I prayed, I gave. But I really didn't believe it. I really didn't want to. I really didn't want to do it. I really wasn't into it. Whoosh! You're going to go, what happened to all that? It don't count for nothing. Because your motive for doing it was wrong. But the things that you and I do for Christ, those will be gold, silver, and precious metals. But everything that's done for the wrong reason, the Bible says it's like wood, hay, and stubble. Gone. But we will still find salvation because our salvation is not based on our works. Our reward as believers is based on what we have done for Christ. And you know, we get this wrong. Well, I'm just working for the Lord. We're not working for the Lord. The idea is that God works through us. And people see God in us as He works through us, not that we're flying our flag. Look at me! Look at me! I'm going through the name of Paul. Look at me! Look at me! Look at me! Gee, that doesn't mean anything. It's what we're doing for Christ that will last. But if you're not in the saved crowd, you too will face the judgment. What's going to happen? They have this book. And they open it up. I'd say it's probably alphabetized, and they'll call your name. Nancy Carnes! We know you're here. Step up. Step down. You know, when you were 7 years old, I see you. And when you were 13, You know, there's a lot here, and it's not getting any better. You were given an opportunity to say yes here, here, here. Your mother took you to church, vacation Bible school. You went to youth group. You went to summer camp, and all of these occasions, opportunities were given for you to hear the gospel, for it to be explained to you in terms that even a child could understand. You claim that you understood, but you know that one thing that makes you like God causes you your biggest problem. You have a will. And it's like they said about a man who was an atheist. They said, if we could prove to you that there was a God, would you then submit and serve Him? And you know what the man said? No! Because I don't want to yield and serve and bow down to a God. I want to be my own God. I want to run my own life. The Bible says if you want to run your own life, then you can run it right into hell because that's where you're going. You will be judged according to your works.
Oh, I see you did a few good things here, but that doesn't make any difference. He didn't do them for the right reason.
Okay, sentence passed. Guilty. Now what? See you. See you what? Well, see you much later. You're going to a place of darkness. You're going to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to a place of eternal separation. Wherever God is not, that's where you're going to be. But I... No buts. Nancy, you didn't get it right. Now you're going to spend a long time getting it wrong. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What's the answer to death? So Christ was one offered to bear the sins of many. That's you and that's me. And unto them that look for him, are you looking for Jesus every day if he's your Lord and your Savior? He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Because you see, the Bible says he came once to get it right. He's coming twice to take us back. Are you ready for the appearance of Christ? Is your life so situated that you're taking care of the dying? Now life is just a cinch. Are you saying it's going to be easy? No, but you have someone on the inside that can help you make it day by day. I watched my grandmother go downhill steadily as the period of time went by as I lived with her. When I moved in, she was 84, 85. When I left her last, she was 95, 96, and her body just got weaker and weaker and weaker. Her mind got weaker and weaker and weaker. When I first moved in, she said, you know, you're my eyes and my ears. But she said, you're my eyes and my ears and my hands. But she said, you're my eyes and my ears and my hands and my feet. I couldn't make it without you. You saw, she said to me, sometimes she'd get up and she'd walk across the room and she'd say, I just asked Jesus for the strength to help me walk across the room. She knew she was fading. She knew she was dying. Just because she was old, she was dying. But she was ready to go because when she was 13 years old, which was many, many years before I came on the scene, she had said yes to Christ as Lord and Savior. And I say to you here today, are you willing today to say yes to Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, your life can be a wonderful journey that's a testimony to His keeping grace and His saving power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. Father, we pray that we are ready today to face life's greatest challenge, and that is death. Because the Bible says tomorrow is not promised. Help us to make sure that we are ready for You because we've said yes to Your Son as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.